Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio, channel Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Andrea Ruckelman, your host today, and we are talking about staying the course, keeping focused in a business social setting. Do you know yourself enough to conduct business, let's say, on the golf course or maybe your favorite sporting event? Or when we try to mix business and pleasure during social events for conducting business? Often when we try to mix business with pleasure, conduct those meetings by focusing on such a thing as our golf game or the sporting event or being distracted by the food and the alcohol around us and many other people, we try to lose ourselves in a way that we don't even understand is happening. So today we're going to tackle this topic and learn how to, let's say, be a leader on the links at the game or at the party and seal the deal at the same time. So before I tell you a little bit about myself, I'd like to introduce my co-host today. Mandy Rozniak is of Peak Performance and Life Leadership Coaching. Welcome, Mandy.
Well, welcome, Andrew. I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Thank you. I'm really excited to have you here, too. I've been talking to so many people about this and the opportunity to have this show with you today. So to explain to everybody why I'm so excited to be doing this show with Mandy, let me tell you a little bit about her. Mandy works with athletes, athletes that want to maximize their potential, both on and off the field, by quieting the negative self-talk, fears, and doubts that hold them back from being their best. She focuses on personal and leadership development to train their brain and up their game to excel both on and off the field. Man, I probably could have used her during my softball days, my basketball days, and I could still use her in my golf days now, maybe even my running. So I'm really excited to be here. And again, thank you, Mandy, for joining me today. And to give you all a little bit about myself, I am Andrea Ruckelman. I am the founding principal of New Perspectives Communication. I like to work with organizations focusing on their culture and helping organizations transform from a reactive culture to a responsive one. You know, the difference of what would happen if you heard from your boss, you screwed up? How are you going to go about the rest of your day? But what if your boss said to you, we need to find a solution to prevent this from happening again? Total different way of thinking about it. So that's like how I like to help everybody in different organizations, as well as individuals looking for a new perspective on how they talk to themselves. So this is also a good topic for being on a golf course, too. Just for a little bit of fun stuff, I like to run, to snowboard, slowly progressing at golf, and almost willing to take on any physical challenge such as rock climbing, and I'm going to try and learn how to surf this year. So that's a little fun tidbits about me.
I love
that. At this time, I'd like to invite our listeners, if they ever have any concerns, issues, great stories they want to share of what it was like to mix business or pleasure, or maybe even want to ask some tips of Mandy or myself of how to behave in certain social settings, please give us a call at 646-716-9397. And if you are a member of Blog Talk Radio, you have a chat account, so please feel free to send us a chat on there. We'll read it on the air and see if we can get some responses back to you. And last but not least, we also are on Twitter. Today we are focusing on hashtag stay the course. So again, if you have a story that you want to share, hashtag stay the course, and we'll be ready to talk. So let's kick this off today. Mandy, as I said, the whole golf thing and what it's like to be on that golf course when you, let's say, are a handicapped player. Some people are scratch golfers, as I've heard, and I'm far from one of those. I'm really trying to learn how to play my golf game, and sometimes I let one bad shot turn into two bad shots, turn into three bad shots, and maybe I've been known to toss a club. Let's talk about what happens to that same type of personality person when they're on the golf course with a potential client.
Well, Andrea, as you're talking, I think you've just described probably every golfer that's ever been out there at one point or another. I'm glad to hear, though, that you said you haven't yet broken a club, because then that's when we might have to really step in and do an intervention with you. but up till now, a lot of what you described is, you know, every golfer has faced. But, you know, going back to your talk about, you know, mixing business with golf, you find a lot of people using, you know, they use golf as a form to get outside of the office, get outside of the, you know, the business world, to be able to try to connect with the client, try to maybe land a potential client, things like that. And what's really, really interesting about it is, you know, you head out onto the golf course because it's, you know, a beautiful setting, get out, you know, get outside, fresh air. And yet then what happens is this person shows up who does exactly like what you talked about. And all of a sudden, that same person that might be sitting in a room trying to land a deal is coming from a place, you know, they're all of a sudden they start to lose grip on some of their emotions, or they let it get the best of them. So I know one of the things we're going to be talking about here is how does that really then affect you potentially landing a client and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's really interesting to just, you know, as we're going to go look at that. So I'd say that probably the biggest thing when you step out on the golf course with that is you better know what your intention is behind why you invited that person to play with you that day. Because if you want to land them as a client, then are you ready to give up your, you know, are you getting out there to play to win? Are you getting out there to play to have fun? Are you getting out there to let your client win? You know, so there's all those kinds of things that start to then come up for you that you have to, you have to know before you walk on that course what you want to get out of that business meeting.
Yeah, that's great that when we think about the business meeting, that's the first and foremost thing that we need to talk about is what's our purpose of having this meeting on a golf course. And so there's always this aspect of, if you're a competitive person, sometimes it's hard to suppress that this is about business. This is not about my game. You know, it's important for me to have this individual sign up with me to give me either, if you're a salesperson, you get the commission, if it's about building a partnership with somebody. You know, they're really looking at you in many different aspects when you're on there. How do you react in a situation? How does that transform into the business world if you're throwing a temper tantrum on the golf course? If something goes wrong, do you react the same way? It kind of goes into somewhat of the show that I did yesterday about wearing masks, that you try to behave a certain way in one place, and then you behave the same exact way somewhere else, even though you don't think so. So you think you're one person in the business world, and you're someone different on the golf course. But if you're a salesperson, you're competitive, you know, and most often than not, if you're an entrepreneur, you're going to try really hard. So if you try hard in business, you truly are trying hard in your sport. And even though I'm not the greatest golfer, I'm not a handicapped golfer, I'm far from a scratch golfer, nor will that probably ever be in my future. And I don't know why I get frustrated out there, because I know I'm not good at it. So it's kind of interesting to walk me through something of how should somebody, before they go out onto the golf course, that is focusing on their business, what kind of exercises could they do with themselves before they take that step out there to let them know it's not about the golf game?
Well, the first thing I'll have to say is I have to challenge you on your limiting belief that you're never going to be a handicapped golfer. So we'll put that to the side. We'll talk about that later because, you know, you've just started. So right there, I mean, that might be, you know, that might be a good little piece to tap into in regards to people and their limiting beliefs. But, you know, again, it goes back to, I'll start back. You have to clearly set your intention. So you have to know what it is. Why am I going on the golf course, which we had, you know, already brought up a little bit. Second piece is, you know, another thing I would say for yourself is, you know, you've got to know yourself well enough to understand how you're going to be when you step up, you know, and you make that bad shot. So again, I think it's about understanding understanding your who and understanding how do you know yourself well enough to know how you're going to show up in some of these different circumstances and different pieces. And try to get a really good feel. Try to get some background on your client. I think that's really, really important too, because you might not know this person very well yet, but try to do some homework and get some background on them, so that you can try to find out: do they play golf a lot? Do they conduct business on the golf course a lot? Do they, do they like to win? You know, what's their business? Is their business, is it the kind of business that is very performance related, and so again, they may want to win. You know, so try to find out as much background as you can about your client, and maybe some of their history, so that you can then use that to sort of again know what you're going to go in. But I think again, I'm just going to go back to the bottom line, is because you have to absolutely have to know what your intention is and what you're going to expect out of yourself first. Because if you're not clear on that when you get on that course, then just watch, everything's, you know, all bets are off, because, you know, you might step up to the fourth tee and hit a beautiful shot, and then your second shot is, you know, a terrible one, and all of a sudden you slam the club to the ground, and you've got your client kind of looking at you like, being like, well, wait a minute, where's that person the first three holes? Because where it translates and crosses lines is how you're going to react on the course is then how you're going to react in the office. So maybe you're working with that client and everything's going really, really well, and then all of a sudden, you know, they don't renew an account with you. How are you going to react to that? And they may be looking at how you're reacting on the course and translate that to be like, well, geez, look at what happened over here. Is that how they're going to treat me now when things get rough between business with us? So I think those are a couple of key things to, you know, to take a look at.
Yeah, you brought up a good point of when you said that you have to know what to expect out of yourself. And I would like to bring up the topic of the desperate person who really needs to land this client, and they're in their head that I'm going to lose them. I've already lost them. I haven't gone out there. It's kind of like how we talked about limiting beliefs before, or something of like where someone has this gremlin that they're not going to want to be with me. They're not going to like, they don't like me. They don't want to be there. And so they're going into this, onto the course with that negative energy already. And so they're completely catabolic. And for our listeners to understand what I mean by catabolic is they're beating themselves up, that they're so down that they feel victim to the situation already, or they feel that they have to fight to prove that they're worth it. So here they are going in with this catabolic feeling, and that could set the tone for everything. You know, the nervousness, the jitteriness, how does that affect what individuals are doing on the course? And how can you give some of those individuals some tips to, say, center themselves, create the vision that they want, and turn that negative feeling into something that is more anabolic, where it's, this is going to work for both of us, or it's not going to work for either one of us, or this is going to be an experience, and I'm just going to take this experience for what it is.
Well, I think one thing, the point that you brought up that they have to look at is if they have that desperate feeling, if they have that sense of, oh, my God, I have to land this client or else, it's absolutely going to get – it's going to show up when they play that game, because they're going to, again, have a moment. They're going to have some point during that game when their game, their golf game, is going to reveal that and pull that out of them. Because they're going to probably feel so desperate to land this client that they're going to be in positions where I feel so desperate I have to make this shot. And so they're going to already be in that self-fulfilling prophecy of, you know, that like you said, the catabolic energy is going to just create and feed more of that energy. So I think one of the things they could look at to shift that before they get out there is look at what some of their prior successes are. They, you know, have they... Especially say maybe it's the first time they're going out on a golf course with someone, they've never done this before. What are some of the things, though, previous successes that they've had just in their business world? They may have some catabolic energy. They may have a sense of desperation, right? I really have to land this client or else. But I guarantee you they've landed clients before. So they should look at that, first of all. And they should look at, you know, try to go in and look at the win-win situation of, okay, I've got this opportunity to get on the course with this client, do two things that I really enjoy to do, and sort of go at it with the I'm just going to go out there and give it my best and realize that if it works, it does, and if it doesn't, great. You know, I tried. Now, someone going in with catabolic energy, that's going to be very hard for them to do. So I think they have to sort of, you know, like you already said, it sort of center themselves before they get out there, look at their previous successes. I go back again to the intention. I mean, I think intention today might be, you know, one of our key words here. I think in all these situations, you're going to have to really kind of stay tapped into that throughout the whole, you know, the whole time. Also maintain a proper perspective on what they're going to be doing and what they want to get from this. So, you know, and sticking with that piece and just realizing that this is an opportunity to, you know, maybe add something to a new way of business that they're doing. You know, they're taking on a new form of landing business. And so trying to shift that from I have to I want to, and realize that if this guy says no, this guy or woman says no, then the next one may be my yes. So just trying to sort of look at it and tap into the fact that this is not an all or nothing black or white situation. I'm going to go out there, give it my best, what has given me success before, and try to stick with that. And then just go out there and the key, try to have fun, because if you're not having fun, they're definitely not going to be successful in that situation.
It's so funny when you say try to have fun, because those of us who are competitive, being competitive is what's the fun part. So,
right.
It's interesting. So a couple of things I want to repeat that you had said before for our guests, our listeners, to really understand the intention. Set your intention of what is your purpose to be out there on the golf course. The other thing you had said was know yourself well enough to know how you are going to show up. Again, I love that. It's so key. So to repeat that, know yourself well enough to know how you are going to show up. And I also do think that was a pretty interesting point when you say get some background on your client. Know how well they are at the golf game. Maybe the golf course isn't the right place for you to conduct business with them. If you know yourself well enough to understand that the golf course is not someplace that you should conduct business with a potential client or someone that you desperately need, just because they enjoy the game of golf and you think you have to do what they like to do, maybe it doesn't work best for you. So you have to find something that is a happy medium between both of you, where the conversation is going to flow. It's not going to be about the third party, which is the course, let's say, or anything else. Whether it be something for a dinner, a lunch, or maybe go to a different type of event where you have time to speak and not where you have to focus on your shot or feel like you have to focus from your shot. So to think about what to expect from yourself when you're doing all this, know what your limits are, and if they are, to challenge them, yes, but also know that if it's not the right setting for you, be okay with that and find something different. You know, it was funny that it was very interesting. I was watching before we decided to do this show today. I was watching the British Open, and they were telling a story of where 11 years ago Tiger Woods was set to win his another Grand Slam title. And right before he was supposed to tee off, he was doing wonderful, and right before he was supposed to tee off, this storm had rolled in. Now, they knew it was supposed to rain, but they didn't know how difficult this storm was going to be. And he bogeyed the first hole, the fourth hole, the fifth hole, and shot a 42 on the front nine. And he was just completely frustrated. You see him throw a club or whatever it might be. And one the gentleman that was playing along with him as they were on the back nine, and I think he said it was the 15th hole, had said to him, "I'm very proud of the way you're conducting yourself." And Tiger Woods had looked at him and said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "I'm doing horrible over here." He goes, "No, considering the situation, you're being very professional and not throwing temper tantrums." And sure enough, the next hole, he hit his first birdie. So it's amazing what the mindset of just the simple words and changing your perspective on what's really happening and what's the intention. Were things set up against him not to play all that well in there? Possibly. The elements, it was out of his control. The wind, the pounding rain, everything was just taking the balls left and right. And all it took was for one person to say, in a different perspective of how he's conducting himself. And so he thought, how great is that, that someone sees how good I'm behaving on this course? And it changed his mindset. So it's really interesting that sometimes if you just change your mindset, if you're going down that path of swinging your clubs and you have one bad shot after another bad shot, call it a hole. That's it. Change your perspective. Well, I got that out of my system, and so now I can move on. Or saying, is it good to show my potential client that mistakes happen? But how do I recover from these mistakes? So those mistakes may be swinging a club, but nobody's perfect on a golf course, even the professionals. But it's how do you recover from that? Do you shake it off or you do hold on to it? If you're that desperate person that feels you have to get this client instead of you want to, you're going to go into it thinking that I have to do this, and it's not going to happen that way. But if you look at it in a way that's more on the positive aspect, it's really going to change. The energy that you're putting out there and where you're either exhausting yourself on something or feeling great about something, look at the difference in how that makes you feel. And so, Mandy, are there any other thoughts that you want to share when it comes to talking about conducting business on the golf course?
Well, yeah, actually, I had a couple of really, some good final points here or tips. And it's interesting you brought up that story because the first thing that comes to mind, and this, again, both on and off the course, but absolutely on the course, you got to control the controllables, like when you talked about the driving rain and the wind and the things like that, or the course, whether the course is playing fast or slow, you got to control the controllables, and the one thing that you can control absolutely is yourself. You're not going to be able to control all that other stuff. Another couple key points, I think, to really look at, too, when you're going to take this approach. Make sure you know the rules of the game from the standpoint, not to the point where you have to, recite the rule book, but make sure you play the game by the rules, because if you try to take a shortcut or you try to, get away with one, or, maybe you kick the ball out or something like that, is your client going to notice that? And also notice that about your client. It goes both ways. So make sure you're playing the game by the rules and you're not taking shortcuts or trying to, pull a fast one, because there again, that's going to be a reflection of who you are. And it's going to, and that's going to be a reflection of probably what you might be doing, back in the office. I think another really key thing is have a performance expectation. Have an expectation on what your performance is going to be, and then just be okay with what comes out with it, and realize that you're going to go out there and do your best, but just let it just go with the flow. Play with integrity. And then, with sort of a little quick little phrase here, go back to the intention and everything else. Think about tee it up with a vision. Like, have a vision when you go to get ready to tee it up. And one last, I'll leave us with a quote here by Tom Watson, which I think sort of sums up what we're talking about so well. And it says, you don't have to hit the ball perfectly to win. You have to manage yourself better. So I think that's really, really fitting for what we're talking about here, is it's all about managing yourself on and off the course. Yet if you're going to go on the course, conduct business, you have to know how to manage yourself, because it's going to be a reflection of the person you are, the values you bring, you bring to the table, and your client is going to see that. And I think one last little point, too, is also make sure you're paying attention to your client as well. And look at it from a standpoint of going back to that person who's maybe trying to land this account out of desperation. Don't land an account with a client that you wouldn't want to work with. Don't be so desperate that you think, I have to have this account or this client or else I'm not going to make it. Because it's got to go both ways, the client and you as the business person. You have to be mutually connected, because what if all these things we've talked about, what if we flip it and you're the one who's keeping yourself under control, you set the good intention, you're coming with all the anabolic energy, you're gonna play with integrity, all those kinds of things, but all of a sudden you discover things about your client maybe you never knew. So I think you've got to be very open to that as well, of not just also looking at yourself, but making sure you're staying open enough to how your client is conducting themselves, and make sure that they're someone that you then would want to work with, and that it's not they're just there to evaluate you. You need to be there to evaluate them as well, because that's, you know, I think that's a really important point as well. So, you know, like I said, tee it up with a vision, control the controllables, you know, and just really realize you got to manage yourself while you're out there. And like we talked about, go out and have as much fun as you can, because, I mean, heck, you're on a golf course, right? There's no better place to be than playing 18 or 36 holes at 100-degree temperatures like we did yesterday. And, you know, and just go out there and enjoy yourself.
That's great. Thank you for all of those. Those are some great comments and some great thoughts and a great quote that we'll make sure to get up on Twitter later. Again, so just to remind everybody today that as we're talking about staying the course, we just finished our topic on what it's like to conduct business as well as swinging the clubs. If you are listening, we'd love to get you to call in and tell us a story or share an experience that you've had, whatever it comes down to, about conducting business in a social setting. So give us a call at 646-716-9397. If you are a Blog Talk Radio user, feel free to join us in the chat room and share something. Or if you are a Twitter user and you'd like to make a comment, we are using hashtag StayTheCourse today. That way we can have some interesting comments and some feedback and some great stories or any thoughts that you have, as I like to call tweetable moments. And that would be just wonderful to hear from all of you. So a couple of things that I want to share with everybody of what's coming up on Life Coach Radio Network. Actually, today on our sister station, Life Coach Radio Network has expanded, and now we have a sister station called International Life Coach Radio Network. Today at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you want to be a life coach. What's next? Join our great producer, Russ Terry, as he interviews Jay Cadet, the founder of Gen Y's Premier Relationship Studio, and Joseph Massey, who is the CEO and founder of Ubiquitous Blue Enterprises. Tomorrow, here on Life Coach Radio Network at 9 p.m., is Mark My Words with life and business coach Mark Shaw. He will be interviewing confidence coach and beauty expert Kate DePoint. On Monday, July 22nd at 9 p.m. is Frank Talk, Tackling Addicted to Technology. Now, let's see. I just talked about tweeting. I just talked about chat rooms. I just talked about our internet station. So I think that he might have a point of us being addicted to some technology around here, but it is the way of the future. And lastly, on July 23rd at 12 p.m. is Fun to Fortune, Entrepreneur Startup of Success with Coach Jeff. So tune in for any of those shows. If any of that sounds interesting to you, you can get an idea of what's happening if you go to our station on Blog Talk Radio and look up Life Coach Radio Network. So that's just a little bit of information of what's going on with us coming up in the next few episodes. So, Mandy, what do you say we tackle our next topic? What do you have on your list of things that you want to open up for discussion on here?
Well, see, you're taking me away from one of my first loves, which is golf, but that's okay because we have to be well-rounded people. So we can shift here, away from that. Let's see, because you've done a lot of work with business, being very business-oriented. So, and I know, you know, we were talking about conducting business, you know, outside of the office. So talk to me about, you know, when you're in certain social situations, say maybe at a conference representing your company, and you're involved in sort of a team-building competition or event, or, you know, you're just outside at a conference, and you're looking to obviously set a good name for yourself, for your company, but you're also looking to interact with other people and businesses while you're learning things, you know, and talking about, you know, when you get into different things at conferences and things like that, what are some of the tips that people should be looking at, thinking about, you know, and how they should conduct themselves?
That's a great topic, and I really enjoy that one because I've had so many experiences of going to various conferences, whether they're industry-related or within the company as well. I mean, sometimes if you're going to an internal conference And say you get the opportunity to meet your CEO or the COO or the CFO, depending on what level you're at, maybe you're not around them all the time, and you're trying to think of a way of how could I get recognized. But what often happens at these different events is always lots of food, but there's also usually some alcohol there as well. And sometimes when we think I could just have a drink or two, you never really realize what that can do. And even though you think of it as possibly just relaxing a little bit and loosening up, sometimes nerves get in the way. And when you think of you're having one drink that it turns into two, sometimes there are opportunities of mishaps to occur. And in such an event like that, you need to also, again, set some kind of intention of what is your purpose for being here? You know, or are you the person that needs to be the center of attention? So maybe you don't even have a drink. So I don't want to focus necessarily on someone drinking too much, but what is your personality? And what does that mean to show up at a different event? So let's take the example of you go to a conference and you're representing your company. Hey, I don't care if you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, or belong to a major organization and you're just a small slice of a company of tens of thousands of people and you consider yourself a lost number. I want to think of it as a way of who you are, who are you representing, and I'm not talking about the company, I'm talking about yourself. And so if you're the person that's always cracking jokes, you know, you try to be the funny man of the group, but then people don't take you seriously, you know, what is your intention to do there? Is your intention to be seen as the funny individual that people like to be around to tell a joke? Or are you there to be conducting business? So say you go to an event that was really important and there's someone from another company that you've been really wanting to meet. And you go up to them and you start joking around and they really enjoy talking to you and they think you're funny, but you never really hit talking about the business, what it is you do, and why they should believe in you and the things that you do. So sometimes where your intention is good in your mind, I'll get them to like me, I'll tell a few jokes. You know, maybe I'll pick on myself so I will be the butt of my own jokes. What are they seeing from you? So you're self-deprecating and with whatever you have to say, but you've never talked about what's so good about you that they should do business with you. So these are things that when we talk about staying the course in a social setting, such as a conference, set your intention of business. That's what you're there for. You could save the jokes for afterwards, but it's most important to think about what your primary focus is. You want the business. And again, you could do your background and your homework on the company or the individual. Google, and I'm going back to talking about technology again, Google is a great friend. You could find so much out about an individual, their company, why they started, what are their values as an individual, what are their values, and cater to those values that they hold. Do you share the same values? Talk about things that they've said. If you find a speech that they gave or an event that they've been quoted upon or an article, that is the aspect of an individual that you want to focus on. It's not about the jokes. It's not about pouring the drinks. And it's not about the competition. Now, if I want to talk about team building events where it's competition, no rag talking against other people. You don't put people down to build yourself up. And it's very interesting because I just had a conversation with someone the other day about their business, and they had asked me my opinion on what do I think that they should do. And so we went through this conversation about how they sell themselves. And so it got to the point of a question between them and a competitor. And the first thing he did was put down his competitors. And I stopped him there and said, you're not going to get business that way. No one wants to hear how horrible someone else is. They want to know how great you are. And so if you're thinking about a social setting in an event like that, no matter where you are, talk about the good things that you do. It's not about the things that are not great about others, but it's about what's so wonderful about you. Any thoughts to this, Mandy, that I want to make sure that you get to speak about it as well?
I think you're tapping into a lot of really, really great points. And I think what's really interesting is to point out, there's so many parallels to the first piece we were talking about. And it because the bottom line, it just comes down to really, I think you have to know who you are in your multiple facets. Are you a person who is do you live compartmentalized? Are you one way in the office, one way at home, one way in social settings, things like that? Because you might think you are, but you're going to show up. There's a great quote out there, how you do anything is how you do everything. We may think we do things differently in different places, but it's going to show up, who you really are is going to show up in all these different places. So you really have to, like I said, get back to know who, know your real who and what you're looking for. Because I think what happens, I think people think, okay, well, I'm in the office, so I have to act this way. And now I'm in this setting, so I have to act this way, or I'm going to act this way. And I think also when you get in outside of your comfort zone, outside of your setting of being in the office, like that's where people know. They know how to act accordingly there. When they get outside into a different setting, such as a conference or things like this we're talking about, and they get outside that comfort zone, all of a sudden they start to shift and they act differently. So I think it comes down to you have to you have to get comfortable outside of your normal setting. So it's that great phrase, if you better get comfortable with being uncomfortable so that you can still try to be and act how you always will act. Because you get into, as we know, when you get into stressors or situations that stress yourself, you're going to, if you're not really clear on who you are and how you want to be, again, going back to intention, it's some of these things like you talked about are going to show up, and you're going to be revealing a side of yourself that maybe you weren't prepared for, maybe you didn't want to show. You know, it's that perfect example of you meet somebody and you're in this setting and you're trying to impress them, and you say something, and you go back to your room that night and you just beat yourself up all night because, I can't believe I said this or I did that. And I think a lot of that happens because you're trying to be someone outside of who you normally are. So I think the more grounded you can be and be just more and try not to live in these different stages of this is who I am here and this is who I am there, and try to be as authentic as possible, then you're going to probably run into fewer times when these situations are going to happen. And they probably still are going to happen. You might still say something, out of line. But then how do you bring yourself back? I think that's another piece too. Are you a snowball that just starts going down the hill, or can you catch yourself and sort of bring yourself back? So I think those are really important pieces, because we get so used to living our lives in such a sort of stream. We're going down this path, and then we get into settings that we're not comfortable with, and then I think that's when all of our little gremlins start to show up, or all of the little, all those little voices that we try to keep quiet most of the time start to pop up, and that's when we start to act outside of ourselves than we normally would act.
Yeah, and I think that's great, because when you made the comment before about if you screw up and you go in, or you feel like you screwed up and you go upstairs and you beat yourself or go home or whatever it is on drive, what are you learning from that experience? And so you learn from the next time. Everything is a lesson in life. There are no mistakes. It's just a choice. You made a choice to do something. And if you look back on it and you say, oh, what an idiot I was, I never should have said that, don't think of it, you made a mistake. You learned a lesson. Maybe next time you prepare for the conference. Maybe you practice what it is that's important for you to come across. And if in a moment something pops up and you think it would be great to say this, think about it. Is it relevant before you let it come flying out of your mouth? Because sometimes where you think it would be a great joke, but if you don't know the individual and know that maybe they're not someone who appreciates a good joke, maybe you don't want to say it. Maybe you want to wait for there to be a stronger relationship, especially when you're first meeting someone. It's about showing up who you are, being genuine about yourself, and not feeling like you have to prove to be someone that they want you to be. But just knowing that you're coming at this from a good place and really working towards a common goal. They want business. You want business. You both have something that you want to equally gain together. So it's very interesting because there's so many different social settings that we could talk about. I mean, whether it's a networking event where you're first meeting people, and you know, when you think about all these networking events that you go to, it's always about the food being passed around, the drinks. And I know I said I was going to stay away from the alcohol issue, but I kind of want to touch upon it because there are those situations that it happens, and I don't want to pretend that it doesn't. So to think about when you have a drink somewhere and you're standing around talking and you're listening to someone, and so you just keep sipping and you keep sipping, and next thing you know, it's time for another drink, or someone brings over another drink and you were only planning on having one or two, but you don't want to make them feel bad. So now you have a third or a fourth. And sometimes things tend to turn out in a way that we don't expect them to. We may say things, we may have a little bit of a slur to what we do. We may start behaving in a way that is unexpected. And now you're setting yourself up to be perceived. The best way to talk about it is that if you set up the intention that all you do is have a glass of water there, or start with a juice or a soda, and if someone offers you a drink, you just say that tonight's not your night to drink. And so it's just really understanding, again, is the social networking, yes, it's social, and I'm not telling you not to have a drink, but if you even tell someone that I'm on my 2-drink limit today, nothing's wrong. You're showing them that you have control. And control is something that is really important when you're networking with someone else, because they're watching you, especially when you're an entrepreneur and trying to start off on your own. Or even a well-balanced business person. You know, how do you conduct yourself in public? You know, think about the situations that you see in the news these days of drunk drivers. You know, those go back to the event of the gentleman, and I think he owned the polo club in Florida, that he hit a man, and he was drunk driving, and he was trying to get away with it. Like he's forever burned with the thought of being a drunk driver. The other thing that you think about is other reputations of how behavior. Do you get touchy with your hands when you start drinking a little too much? Do you do things inappropriate? It's true. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been to an event where I see someone, they have a little bit too much to drink, and next thing you know, they have very wandering hands. Not appropriate. So it's really to think about, who are you, and who do you want to be, and who do you want to be seen as? You want to be seen as someone that people should take serious and do business, but be the fun person? It can happen, but you have to choose how you're going to do it. And those are some of my thoughts on that, and that's a tough one to end the topic on that one, but I want to kind of switch it up to something a little more fun and get back to more competitive stuff. And I love the topic of corporate America and owning a box for a certain sports team. If you own a box at a football game for a football team, a baseball team, a hockey team, if anybody from Canada is listening, all right, maybe Americans too, but I always feel Canadians love hockey a little more. And, well, you know, what happens when you're at these social events and you really love your team? So, Mandy, let's start talking about some funness of when it comes in competition. Do people want to set bets up with maybe the people that they're trying to conduct business with, if my team beats your team type of situation? What do you think about a thought like that? Is that a smart idea, or should maybe we refrain from something like that?
Well, another great topic, because it's mixing. You know, sports today has become a lot, I think unfortunately, a little bit too much driven by, you know, it's become such a big business, and it's very money-driven. Which is why now you are seeing, you know, you go to a sporting event now and, you know, the first 20 rows are basically corporate-owned rows, and you've got all the skyboxes and things like that. So it's a lot of money behind, behind things at sporting events now and the venues. And so, yeah, there's a lot of corporate boxes. There's a lot of, like, seats out there that are available that you can only get through business or through knowing the right people. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I think all of this, it's very interesting, because we could probably pick up multiples of these topics, and I think they really do have, again, a common theme behind all of these kinds of things are gonna, you're gonna show up and show who you are. And I know we've touched on that a lot, but I think it's really important. And it's not to say that you can't bet and you shouldn't bet, but it's about understanding the limitations. You know, it's like you talked about with the drinking. You know, you can have a drink or two, but know what your limitations are. You know, and know what's considered to be acceptable in regards to what you can handle and what you can't handle. So you go to a sporting event and, you know, we're at this game and you know, is betting on a game appropriate? I think that's where you have to know your client, know the audience that you're dealing with. Because if, you know, tapping back into, again, with the drinking and or the, you know, the social event or how you're conducting yourself, you got to know the client and the personnel you're dealing with, because maybe they frown upon gambling. Or, you know, you never know, or maybe they, you know, maybe it's just something that they're not interested in, or maybe they, you know, have actually had a gambling issue. I mean, Lord knows there's lots of things like that could come up. So from a standpoint of appropriateness, I mean, I think if you do it with good nature to have fun, then yeah, why not? You know, but it's knowing that you know what's the piece behind why you're doing it. You know, again, bottom line, it's just having that sense of why are you doing it? Should we do it? And can you control yourself? Control the controllables again. Because are you going to get really mad because your team just lost a 10-point lead? You know, so, you know, all of these things, like I said, are connected around conducting business appropriately on and off the circumstance, in and out of the office.
Yeah, it's great because I am a big Giants football fan. And before they went to PSLs, I used to be a season ticket holder, and I would go to the games, and I love my team beyond anything. And it's very interesting because, no, I did not get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So I was with a group of friends and watching it at the local bar, and just to see some of the behaviors of people someplace locally in the way that they act, you often wonder, I wonder what they're like in a professional setting. And so there have been times that I've been lucky enough to get into a box for a football game, a baseball game, and as well as a basketball game, a corporate box, to see and watch the people behave in there. And I've seen the gamut run from individuals who are screaming at other people and just watching how they behave around the individuals that they're trying to conduct business with. Now, you're being invited as a guest of a company to sit in a box. And more often than not, they think about it as, let's sit here, I'm going to entertain you, and let's see what the business is. And so if the person that you're inviting, your potential client, let's say they're the ones that are behaving in a certain way that you don't truly enjoy, right? We could turn the tables around. Is it necessarily about yourself, or what about the other person? So now you see the way they behave, the way they scream. Maybe they're throwing things at other fans or something like that. And believe me, I've seen it happen live. And you sit here and you wonder, what are they like in business? And then you wonder, is this someone I want to do business with? On the reverse, maybe you don't want to be, you know, their customer. So what is it about that you also have to think about? What do they represent, and do your values align with that individual? So don't be afraid to say no if you're the person, the tables are turned, and you're the person that is going through the aspect of watching the behavior of someone. Because, again, doing business with someone else also states on your reputation as a business too. So you can make a choice of saying, wow, I thought this person was great, but I'm not so sure. So, and if you think about it in that way, allow yourself to say, what if I was that other person? And so when you're sitting in a box and you're cheering on your team, again, what is the primary reason for conducting the business at that location? It's about entertainment. It's about showing the person a good time. What is a good time? Are they a sports fanatic? Have you been to their office and all they have is
things for the Knicks or the Rangers. Sorry, I'm an East Coast person. As you can tell, I said New York Giants. But it's really understanding is that the right situation for you to conduct your business? And that's what it always comes down to. Where is the right place to go with it, and what's the right thing to do? And there's not a mistake in what your choice is. It's just a choice of doing it. So thinking about ahead of time, what is the intention, knowing the background of the individual, and what to expect of yourself. How do you corral in that individual who is throwing stuff and shouting obscenities? You know, do you bring them inside and keep them out from the open box area? How do you start a conversation with them about business if they don't really care to talk about it? So these are all things to know about the potential person you're bringing with you to see, or if you're a guest in someone's box, to know what is the most important thing. Is it to see the team, or is it to do the business? And remember, if you're trying to land a client, business is number one. Your team always comes second. Record the game. Watch it at home later. You know who wins. If you want to see the important shots and the important pivotal points of the game, you can always watch the recording of it or watch the highlights on ESPN. But the most important thing for you to be anywhere with anyone is about landing the business. So make that your priority. Set your intention. Practice what you want to say. And I can't stress that enough. Practice what you want to say and what's important for you to get across. And so that's how I think about that topic in that sense. And so as we're coming in on the closing of the show, I just want to...
Excuse me, if I could just share one last little piece. I was just about to do that for you. Oh, I'm sorry. Just very quickly, it just reminds me of a Seinfeld episode, which... where Elaine is invited into the New York Yankee box. She gets tickets to go to a New York Yankee game, and Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld, she's from Baltimore, so she's sitting in the owner's box wearing a Orioles hat. And, of course, she gets all hassled, and everybody starts yelling at her, and the whole nine yards, and she was supposed to be out sick that day. And, of course, there's a picture of her that shows up on the front of the paper the next day, so her boss sees her. You know, she then tries to hide the hat, you know, hide the picture from the boss because she's sitting in the owner's box with an Orioles hat on. And that's a perfect example of the fact that, you know, she was in the New York Yankee owner's box wearing the Orioles hat. And, you know, it wasn't quite appropriate. And, of course, for any Seinfeld fans out there, you know the story and how that can carry on. But it goes along with that point, like you were just saying. And when you were telling that story, it just made me think of that. And that's just such a great, you know, great analogy to what we're talking about, is you got to know your audience and know, you know, what's going on behind why you're there.
Absolutely. That is so very true. So as we're coming, I can't believe these hours fly by so quickly. I can't believe the show is already at the end, and I really appreciate the time. So, Mandy, as we start thinking about closing up the show, share with us some final thoughts that you had. We hit three different topics on here, and you said it before, there's a lot of common themes between all of them. So share with us some of your closing thoughts that you have on this. And if anything you've said has resonated, I want our audience to be able to reach out to you. So please let our audience know in what way they could get in touch with you and the many different avenues that they can follow you.
Well, great, Andrea. Yeah, it was. It is amazing how fast these times go by, and I do enjoy working with you today. I think a couple of things that resonated that, without a doubt for me, the themes that kept popping up was absolutely you have to know what your intention is behind why you're in the venue that you're going to be in, whether it's on the golf course, whether you're at a conference, whether you're, you know, at a sporting event like in the corporate box. What's your intention for why you're there and what you're trying to do with being in that place? I think another really, really key is you have to know who you are. You have to know who you are at your core so that you can show up the same and be that same person, again, no matter where you are, because if you show up differently at different places, it's going to reveal, I think, some sides of yourself that maybe you're not always comfortable with or that you want to reveal. Not meaning from a bad place, but just you're going to kind of be on that little bit of a roller coaster. So you really need to know who you are. And know who your values are, and just really look at why you're there, what you're looking to improve for, you know, to gain from there. And I think bottom line, you've got to be as authentic as possible, which is, I guess authenticity just sums it up. You've got to be authentic, and you have to live and play with integrity. And I think if you follow those couple of things, it's not going to matter what setting, venue, or thing you're trying to do. You're going to lead yourself from a very centered and grounded place, and you're going to, I think you're going to find yourself far more successful. You may not land all your clients, but the clients you do land are going to be the right ones for you, and I think that's the real key here, is to make sure that you're landing the clients that are right for you and not just because you want another client. And so in the meantime, anybody who would like to get in touch with me, learn more about the work I do, my website, the company name is Inner Winning Coaching, but my website address is coachmandy.com. My email address is mandy@coachmandy.com. My Facebook page is Inner Winning Coaching. And I also have a Twitter account, and it's Life Coach Mandy. And I'd love to increase my followers on Twitter, so if anybody wants to jump in there, that's Life Coach Mandy. And again, I wanted to thank you, Andrea, for working with you. It was really, really great today, and I hope we get to do some work together again. And like I said in the very, very beginning, I would love to work with you also on creating and breaking through those limiting beliefs about you ever becoming a handicapped golfer.
Deal. I would love that, too. I just always feel I don't play enough to be able to consider myself a handicapped golfer.
And I apologize for jumping in, but there's the perfect right there. You just landed it. We'll have to get on the golf course to break through those limiting beliefs. So there you go.
I like the sound of that. And, Mandy, I understand you have some exciting news that starting next month you're going to kick off your own show. You want to share with our audience what that's going to be all about?
Yes. The first and third Fridays of each month at noon, I'm going to be doing my own show here on Life Coach Radio Network, and it's going to be called Beyond the Skills and Drills of Sport. It's going to be getting inside the mind of the athletes, going behind the stories and things. You know, it's not about the X's and O's in life. It's about the person and not the player, and about all the different types of things that go on in our lives as athletes and individuals. It's going to be the kind of show that you do not have to be an athlete to gain something from, because I'm very, very much, like I said, about dealing with all sorts of different things, personal development, leadership development. I'm going to be having different people on to interview them about how athletics has influenced their lives now later in life and how they've gained success from it, talking about different stories that are in the, outside the lines of the general sports topics and some of the, you know, social aspects that come up with sports and all those kinds of things. So I'm really, really excited about it because sports has been a major part of my entire life that has helped shape who I am, but it's not about who I am because of sports. It's just been a vehicle to sort of get me to where I am. So I'm really excited about that. And again, that's going to be starting on August 2nd at noon Eastern time, and it's going to be the first and third Friday of each month at noon.
I wish you the best of luck and congratulations on that. I'll definitely be tuning into that show. Some final thoughts from me. You know, Mandy hit it well enough when saying setting the intention. I think of all today, my favorite quote that she had was, know yourself well enough to know how you're going to show up. Like I said, the most important thing is what is important to you about that relationship? What is important to you about how you're being viewed in the business world, and how do you want to land your business? But it's also great that I found one quote that I actually do really enjoy, and it's really about life in itself and the game that it is. Life is a perfect adventure, a game that cannot be won or lost, only played. So it goes to my saying of there are no mistakes. There are choices that you're making. You're not winning. You're not losing. You're just a part of life, and these are some of the experiences that you are having. So I'd like to let anybody know who is interested in anything that I've said, or if you're interested about communicating to yourself and wanting a new perspective, or if you're part of an organization where you want to see leaders inspire, the employees grow, the reputation gets strong, and profits increase, I am the woman for you to call of New Perspectives Communication. That's Perspectives with an S and Communication without.
You could reach me at my website, which is newperspectivescommunication.com. My email address is Andrea@newperspectivescommunication.com. Or you could follow me on Facebook by my company name, New Perspectives Communication. And if you're interested in following me on Twitter with all my tweetable moments or other ideas and thoughts that come across about how you could start leading within, being motivating, or inspiring others, my Twitter handle is @howyousayit. So again, that's @howyousayit. My next show will be Sunday, July 28th. That we call our Super Soul Sunday. We do the follow-up on to Oprah Winfrey's Super Soul Sunday and have a full-on conversation. But starting August 8th, every second and fourth Thursday of the month, I will be hosting my own show kicking off, and it's going to be called Gaining Perspective with Andrea Ruckelman. So again, I'd like to thank you, Mandy, for being a part of this. I cannot wait to get on the golf course with you and change that 114 on a par 72 to maybe a 72. So learn to become a scratch golfer. And to all of our listeners, I thank you for being a part of this. And just wanted to share you with, life is short and you only get one shot at it. Make sure you're enjoying all of it, your time and experiences in it. Thank you and have a wonderful weekend.